chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18 this morning. I mentioned it during Sunday school. I figure I'll mention it again during 11 o'clock hour. Thanks to Brother Doug, he said, boy, preacher, he says, when you get underneath the lights, your eye looks even worse. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, that's a real word of encouragement. My wife did not hit me, all right? I just want to let you know that. I had eye surgery Wednesday afternoon. They removed a cancerous growth off the top of my eyelid. But the doctor is 95% sure he got it all. And so just pray for healing. And I'm hoping to have stitches out on the 15th. And so pray that all heals. And they're sending it off for a biopsy, making sure that the cancer is confined within that area that they took. Amen. So if you would just pray about that. You say, preacher, you worried about it? Not at all. And God's in control. And so that's what we have to look at it. Nothing I can do about it anyway. And so just have to trust the Lord. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. All right. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with us as we break the bread of life this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts and souls. Speak to us in a great way. And Lord, through your word, I pray that you'd illuminate us, guide us, direct us, and save the lost. Revive, Lord, those that are distant from thee. I pray, Lord, now that you'd guide and direct. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Genesis is the book of beginnings. We find the creation mentioned in the first few chapters. The very first family is mentioned in the book of Genesis. The first murder is mentioned in Genesis. The first sin. We find the first question mark in the book of Genesis, where the devil said, yea, hath God said. You know, there's been people questioning the word of God ever since. We find that there was the first family, the first world government, Genesis chapter number 11, the first world disaster, Noah's flood. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It's the book of firsts. In Genesis chapter number 12, things change. It changes from focusing on the world. And we find in Genesis chapter number 11 about Nimrod and the first world empire. But in Genesis chapter 12, the emphasis changes for the rest of the book of Genesis. Now it focuses on a family. And it focuses on a man by the name of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find that God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. By the way, the Ur of Chaldees was where it was called the cradle of civilization. It was the richest place in the world. Abraham was not called to follow God out of poverty. He was actually a very rich man and a very wealthy man. And yet God called him to leave everything behind and follow him. So in Genesis chapter 12, we find God's call to Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 13, I'll be talking about that tonight, we find that God sanctifies Abraham, removes him from the world, separates him from Lot, and so we find the sanctification of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14, we find God's victory with Abraham as he fights against the king of Chedorlaomer and he meets up with Melchizedek. We find in Genesis chapter number 15, the Abrahamic covenant. And how that God makes a covenant with Abraham that he would go ahead and bless his seed forever. In Genesis chapter 16, we find that Abraham, even though God works in his life and God reveals himself, Abraham makes some foolish decisions. The end result is Ishmael is born. And yet, Genesis chapter 16 is a chapter showing God's mercy and grace. In Genesis chapter 17, we find a promise given to Abraham. And this promise was by the name of Isaac. And he said, out of Sarah, by the way, at this time, Abraham was about 99 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Those of you that are getting up in years, what would happen if God revealed to you that you're going to have a son in your old age? You'd probably laugh like what Sarah did. And that's how Isaac got his name. His name means laughter. In Genesis chapter number 18, and that's where we're at this morning, after God revealed himself to Abraham, called Abraham, sanctified Abraham, gave Abraham victory, showed Abraham mercy and grace, and he promises Abraham and Sarah a son, God decides to come and visit. He decided to come personally to visit Abraham's home. And I want you to notice what it says in Genesis chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 1. It says, what's the next word?
Lord.
And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran. May I remind you, he's 99 years old. And Abraham ran. His wife was about 90. He said, I want you to cook up this food. And he ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they did eat. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. The Lord came to Abraham's house to visit. You say, well, it was actually a tent, preacher. I realize that. But he came to the place where Abraham actually was living. You know, it's amazing. In the past 29 years, as we grew Grace Baptist Church, one of the things that I believe in is knocking on doors, passing out gospel tracts, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Before there was ever a church that was here, I was here knocking on doors and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity to win many people to the Lord, and through that, we are here today. And through the efforts of many people and through the grace of God, here we are. But as I went and knocked on doors, and actually I was out knocking on doors Tuesday before I went to surgery. I was out knocking on doors on Saturday. And, you know, it's amazing what happens when you knock on doors. You never really know what to expect. One guy met me with a pitchfork. Actually, he was out in his barnyard and said, you need to leave right now. And I said, I just want to give you a gospel tract. And then he came at me with a pitchfork and said, you need to leave right now. I said, I'll go ahead and oblige you. I'm out of here. And one time I was out knocking on doors down in Faustoria before I came to Oak Harbor, me and the pastor that was down there. And we knocked on a door, and a young boy answered the door. And I said, is your dad here? And he says, no, well, he's here, but he's in the shower. I says, okay, can I talk to your mom? And he says, no, she's in the shower too. I says, okay, never mind. I don't want to know anymore. And, so, you know, you never know what you're going to end up finding when you knock on a door. There's been times when I've knocked on a door and I've come to a person's home, and it's evident there are people there. And you say, how do you know? By the voices on the inside. Hide, it's the preacher. You know, I'm not contagious. I'm really not. I've had a number of times when people, they just refuse, when they know it's the preacher coming to the house, they hide. They don't want to talk to the preacher. I don't know why. I'm just trying to stop by and encourage them. And it's hard to say what's going to happen when the preacher comes to visit. But my question this morning is this. What would happen if God came to visit your home? What would happen if the Lord Jesus Christ came and knocked on your door? You know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, Jesus Himself is speaking and He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What would happen if Jesus came and knocked on your door this afternoon? What would you do? How would you act? How would you respond to a heavenly visitor? This is exactly what Abraham had to deal with. I really believe that Abraham understood who came to his door. There were three heavenly visitors. I believe that each one of these represent the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, you might disagree with me, but when you get to heaven, I guess we'll really find out what the truth of it was. But we do know this. In verse number 1, it was the Lord that appeared to him. And then we find he lifted up his eyes in verse number 2, and there was three men. It was later we find it was the Lord that talked to Abraham in chapter number 18 and said, you know what? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the other two that went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and those were the two angels of the Lord that went to Sodom and met with Lot. And those two angels brought Lot and his family out of Sodom, and they're the ones that rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom. I think if you read the whole context of the story, you find that all three persons of the Godhead are involved. We find that there is a God of mercy and grace that is interceding. We find that He is showing mercy and grace, and we find the other side of God, which is offering judgment upon sin. By the way, we serve a balanced God. For every bit of mercy and grace that God offers, God also shows judgment upon sin. We serve a balanced God. But I want you to notice, as the Lord came to visit Abraham, I want you to notice His response this morning. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how would I respond if the Lord came to my home? Look at verse number 1. And the, what everybody? Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. I want you to notice, first of all, he recognized God's presence. He recognized God's presence. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an unseen guest at every meal. You have an unseen person that dwells with you. Jesus said in John chapter number 14 that when He saves us, He is going to send another Comforter that He may abide with us forever, John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit of God, when we get saved, comes in and He seals us in the day of redemption. He quickens us, makes us alive unto God, and He is forever with us. Regardless of where you go as a child of God, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is there with you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews chapter number 13. And so I really believe that the very first thing, Abraham recognized the presence of God. He lifted up his eyes in verse number 2 and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, notice the second thing, he ran to meet them. That tells me not only did he recognize the presence of God, and I believe if we're going to have a successful Christian home, every day we need to live like Jesus Christ is living in our home. Amen? That means he sees the television shows you watch. That means he hears the music that you play. That means he is watching the things that we allow ourselves to peer upon. He is watching what material you are reading. Amen? We ought to recognize his presence. We ought to be eager, number two, to enter into his presence. The Lord appeared to him in Mamre. And the Bible says when he saw them, he ran to meet them. He was eager to meet the Lord. How eager are we to spend some time with him? How eager are we to go ahead and meet the Lord every day? How eager are we to spend time in prayer and time in the Word? How eager are we to go ahead and meet the Lord? Abraham was eager to meet the Lord. He was eager. He ran to meet them. You know, it must be something about being a Baptist preacher. I don't know, but when I go to the grocery store and I'll see church members that haven't been to church for a while, and I'll see them across the way, and they look over and they see me, boy, they take off quick. I mean, they get that shopping cart and away they go. And I'm thinking, huh, maybe they didn't see me, so I track them down. Amen. I just, hey, how you doing? I sure have missed you. Oh, you know, the preacher caught up. I know all the shortcuts in the store. I do. But you know, not everybody is eager to meet the pastor. Not everybody is eager to meet the Lord. But you know, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and He saved our soul, and He's preparing us a home in heaven, He answers our prayer, He intercedes for us on a daily basis, don't you think we would be eager to spend some time with Him? Amen? Don't you think we'd be eager to go ahead and talk to the Lord and meet with the Lord on a daily basis? Abraham was eager to enter into His presence. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen? Some have other versions. I think it says they were mad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, that should not be the case. He ran to meet him. Let's not run the other way. Look at the last part of verse number 2. He lifted up his eyes and looked. He recognized his presence. Saw the three men stood by him. He ran to meet them. Look at the last part of verse 3. He bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham was probably one of the most rich and influential people in the Middle East. His flocks and his herds had multiplied so great that the hillsides could not contain them. And because that Lot and his herds and all of his people went one way, and Abraham and all of his herds and everything went another way. He was a very rich and influential people. And yet when the Lord showed up, what did he do? He bowed himself down. That tells me this. When the Lord came to Abram's home, not only did he recognize his presence, and not only was he eager to enter in his presence, but he was humble and courteous in his presence. Something has happened in our society where no longer do we have the fear of God in our eyes. Pastors talk about the Lord as the guy upstairs or our big daddy, God forbid. I even cringe even mentioning those words. There has been a lack of respect that is drilled in the hearts of Christians. I think that when we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to be our best. I think we ought to look our best. I think we ought to sing our best. I think we ought to praise the Lord to the best of our ability. God is worthy. He is worthy. By the way, if the best you have is a pair of flannel shirts and a bib overhauls, then bless the Lord, then wear it. Amen? I was talking to a preacher not long ago, and actually it's been a few years back. This preacher told me, he said, Rick, he says, if you're going to teach Sunday school, you need to wear a necktie. You need to do your best for the Lord. I said, okay. So I submitted to his authority. He was my pastor at the time. He changed his viewpoint on that. And now he says, I just threw away my last necktie. He preaches without a necktie. And I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen. And if I ever get a chance to see him again, I'm going to ask him. If you were invited to come to the White House for dinner, I wonder if you'd put a necktie on. I wonder if you were invited to go before the Queen of England. I wonder if you would put on your best suit and tie. And I'm sure that he would. My question is, do we hold the Lord with less respect than what we do government officials? And by the way, I'm not preaching to people that don't wear neckties. I'm just using the example. I think that the Lord, He ought to have our best. Amen? In every aspect of our life, He ought to have our best. We find that He was humble and He was courteous. He bowed Himself down, even though He was one of the most richest men in the Middle East, even though He had cattle and herds and flocks, that this was surpassed everyone. Yet He humbled Himself and bowed Himself to the ground. I think when we enter into God's presence, it ought to be a humbling thing. Amen? It ought to be something that humbles us. And even though we might think that we have a lot, in His sight, we are nothing. Someone once said, we are just nothing but a big zero with a line wiped away. Amen? That's all we are. He was humbled and He was courteous in His presence. And I want you to notice the fourth thing. Look at verse number 3. He desired to spend time with Him. And in verse number 3, He says this. And He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in Thy sight, pass not away. Pass not away. There are some people that just can't wait. Boy, I just can't wait till church is over. I can't wait to get out of the presence of the Lord. I can't wait to get out of God's house. Abraham desired to spend time with Him. I've got a confession to make. I love to be here. I felt so bad Wednesday night. I got home about 6 o'clock. Both my eyes were watering. I couldn't hardly see. My wife had to drive me home. And I was putting cold compresses on my eye. I hated it that I couldn't be here. I hated it. Because I love each and every one of you and I want to be here with you. Amen? But more importantly, I want to be in God's house because Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. So Wednesday night, you know where the Lord was? He was right here in the midst of us. I wanted to be there. Abraham desired to spend time with Him. He says, pass not away. Look at verse number 3-5. He says, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Isn't that amazing? Someone as rich as he was, he considered himself to be a servant. And then verse number 4, he says, little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after ye shall pass on. In verse number 6, Abraham told his wife, he says, I want you to make 3 loaves of bread. And he told this young man, here's a young calf. I want you to fix it. And then he presented all this to these 3 heavenly visitors. If the Lord came to your house, what would you do? He showed hospitality. He offered water for cleansing and for refreshment. He offered rest to them, verse number 4. In verse number 5, he offered food. And not just the best. Or not just the least, but he offered the best. Listen, I really believe that if we're going to do something for the Lord, if you're going to make a meal for somebody, and you're going to take it to somebody that's sick, don't find the package of food that you have in the back of your cupboard that the expiration date has already been expired by 4 months. Amen? You know, go out and get something, the best, and give it to someone. And by the way, if whatever we do to others, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. Amen? And so here he offered them water for cleansing and for refreshment, offered rest for them, he offered food. Look over at Matthew chapter number 25, if you would. Hold your place here in Genesis 18. In Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 34 and following, it says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was what? I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was what? Thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, notice this, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of, done it unto one of the least of these my, what? Brethren, ye have done it unto me. As I said in Sunday school, this morning I wrote this in the margin of my Bible as I was thinking about this. The Christian life is not about self. It is about ministering to others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? What did Abraham do? He showed hospitality. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 13. When you found that, say amen. Hebrews 13, verse number 2. He says, let brotherly love continue. Look at verse number 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that exactly what happened to Abraham? All of a sudden, 3 men came to his door. Who were they? I believe they're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who they were. Showed up in human flesh. And Abraham ministered unto them. We need to be careful. Sometimes God allows heavenly visitors to come into our midst. We need to make sure that we treat them the best. They might be one of God's ministering spirits. Look back in Genesis, if you would please. Look at chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. So number 1, he recognized his presence. Number 2, he was eager to enter into his presence. Number 3, he was humble and courteous in his presence. Number 4, he desired to spend time with him. He said, pass not away. Verse number 3 through verse number 5, he showed hospitality in offering water and rest and food. But look at verse number 6. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. You know what Abraham did? He got his family involved in serving God. He got his family involved in serving the Lord. One of the greatest things that you can do, moms and dads, one of the greatest things you can do, get your kids in church. You say, well, I'm not going to force them to go to church because it might warp them. You know, the same people that have that philosophy, they force their kids to go to school. They force them to take a bath. They force them to brush their teeth. They force them to do all kinds of things. It hasn't warped them. Amen? One of the greatest things you can do is get your kids into church. Get them into Sunday school. Let them learn about the Lord. Amen? And then, don't just get them into church. Get them involved in doing things. Get them involved in singing in a junior choir. Get them involved in a bus route. Get them involved in different activities. Listen, I think a family that serves God together will end up staying together. And so here he got his family involved in serving the Lord. One of the greatest things that anybody can ever do is not only come to the house of the Lord, but get your family to come and get them involved. And then verse number 7. Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a young tender calf, and good. Abraham gave his best to the Lord. Not something that had passed expiration date. I mean, he didn't go out there and find a calf that was blind in one eye and his name was Tripod because it only had 3 legs. Amen. He didn't go out there and find a calf that was ready to die. It wasn't the run of the litter. It was the best that he could find. Don't you think that our Lord Jesus Christ deserves the best? The best of our praise, the best of our service. And yet the average Christian in America and throughout the world, they only give God the leftovers. He involved his family. He gave his best. Tender veal. It's some of the best eating you'll ever have. Look at verse number 8. In verse number 8, it says, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. Abraham set it before them. He didn't tell his wife, hey, wife, go serve those men. Uh-uh. Abraham served the men himself. Dads, listen to me. If you want your children to serve God, you need to serve God. If you want your wife to serve God, you serve God. You set the example and you set the tone for the rest of your family. You make sure you put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. Don't just yell at the kids about going to church. Don't just yell at the kids about serving God. You serve God yourself. Amen? You be the example that you need to be for your family. He served them himself. He became personally involved. And then, I want to close with this thought. Verse number 8 says, after he took the butter and the milk and the calf, dressed it and set it before them, notice this, and he stood by them under the tree. You know, that's an interesting statement. Because that's exactly what a slave would do. He assumed the position of a servant or a slave, and they would go ahead and serve the master, and they would not eat with the master. They would stand beside the master and see if there was anything that they needed as they ate. And they would not partake. That's what Abraham did. He demonstrated humility. He assumed the position of a servant or a slave, and he stood by and waited to minister to the Lord. What would happen if Jesus came to your house? Think about it. How would Jesus Christ be treated in your home? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came without warning, I wonder what you'd do. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected, just dropped in on you, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest. And all the food you'd serve him would be your very best. And you would keep reassuring him that you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you'd let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they had been? Would you turn off the radio and hope that he hadn't heard? And wish that you hadn't uttered that last harsh cuss word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Or just let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversations keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or maybe you would change your plans for just a day or so. Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. If Jesus came to your house, I wonder what we would do. Let's bow our heads, please. Abraham was blessed with a visit from God. What we fail to remember, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, every day the Lord is there. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is standing at your heart's door, knocking, wanting you to let Him in. And by a simple prayer of faith, you could call out to God and ask Him to be your Savior. And if you've never done so, we invite you to come and let someone show you from the Bible how you can call on the Lord. If you've already done that, is Jesus a welcome guest in your home? I hope and pray that He is. Is He a welcome guest in your life? I hope and pray that He is. Father, I pray, Lord, that You bless this day. Bless us, Lord, with Your presence. Come and meet with us. Abide with us. 'Tis eventide, as the old song says. Lord, I pray that You'd minister to hearts. Lord, I pray that You would be a welcome visitor in our lives. And really, Lord, no more a visitor, but Lord, treated as part of the family. I pray, Lord, You bless this invitation. We give it to you in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed as the piano and the organ play through a verse of invitation today, if you've never trusted Christ, we invite you to come. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, Lord, I want you to be a welcome guest in my home. Maybe there's some areas of your life that is just not right with the Lord. Why don't you give them to the Lord this morning? Would you come? If the Lord has spoken to you, would you come? Let's all stand together, please. Hymn number 308. Let's sing this as a prayer to the Lord this morning. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's bow forward to prayer, please. Lord, today we are thankful, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would abide with us. Pass not away, as the Scripture says. But Lord, I pray that You would be a constant reminder every moment of our life that You are there. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would convict us, illuminate us, remind us that we belong to You. And Lord, I pray that if there was one in our midst that does not know You, Lord, might Your Holy Spirit do the work of conviction and drawing them to salvation, drawing them to Christ. I pray, Lord, now that You dismiss us from this place, but Lord, not from Your presence. Bring us back again tonight that we might rejoice around the throne of grace. Guide and direct, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Don't forget, choir practice is at 5:15 tonight.